How Trump's army of the religious right is preparing for the apocalypse. Back in the winter of 2024, Donald Trump announced he was selecting Pete Hegseth, a Fox News host and military veteran largely unknown outside the United States, to be his Secretary of Defense. A few years before, Hegseth said he was among a group of National Guard members removed from securing President Biden's inauguration after concerns regarding potential links to extremism. On his right bicep, Hegseth has the words Deus Vult Apud in Gothic script, originally a rallying cry for the First Crusade and Pope Urban II in 1095, the Latin motto, translated as God wills it, has since been reclaimed by extremists, and is now widely used by white supremacist and radical Christian nationalist factions as a shorthand for anti-Muslim sentiment. Hegseth said his tattoos, which include a cross, are just Christian symbols. Author Jeff Charlotte, an expert in the American religious right, places people like Hegseth and other figures linked to Trump within the context of a militant, Christian nationalistic current reshaping American politics. It is a movement which is not currently lacking ideological poster boys, many of whom surround the MAGA movement. Back in 2022, Yale University's Institution for Social and Policy Studies ran a two-day conference to explore what role Christian nationalism might play in the midterm elections that year, and how much of a threat it represented to American democracy. Sociologist Philip Grawski said it was a term that even 5 years ago you wouldn't hear outside of a seminar room, but since the 6th of January attack on the Capitol, it has started to circulate in national newscasts. Grawski traced white Christian nationalism in the United States to the late 1600s, where adherents believed that America was founded by Christians, who modeled its laws and institutions after their religious ideals in the face of perceived threats from non-white people and non-Christians. The phenomenon bubbled up during periods when white Christians felt threatened by outside forces. That was amplified by war, heightened immigration, or periods of economic instability. Grawski said, the period we're in now is a perfect storm. All three of those catalysts are present. 2 years later, Jeff Charlotte described Hegseth as a Christian nationalist who believed absolutely in the idea of the ingathering of Israel as a stage toward the book of Revelation in the Bible, and said, he sees Israel's war on the Palestinians as biblical prophecy and one that must be supported for the sake of Christendom. Hegseth is now in charge of the U.S. Defense Department, which he rechristened the Department of War, and is the primary architect of Operation Epic Fury, the bloody ongoing conflict in Iran. Earlier this month, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation said it had received more than 200 complaints from service members that U.S. military commanders had told troops it was all part of God's plan that they be deployed to Iran. Rachel Bitterkofer, a Democratic political strategist who has been warning of an authoritarian threat from the Trump administration in her newsletter, The Cycle, tells me that while it may sound insane to a European audience, she believes Hegseth thinks he's been chosen by God to go on a divine mission to usher in the second coming of Jesus. She adds, not all evangelical Christians are white Christian nationalists, but all white Christian nationalists are evangelical, and they believe in the rapture, the apocalypse, and the second coming. Public policy analyst and former senior advisor to the UN, Jeffrey Sachs, has sounded the alarm too, warning that the ideological drive behind the war on Iran is no longer tethered to traditional statecraft and that the administration is sacrificing global stability on the altar of a dangerous, end times theology. Bitterkofer says many Christian nationalists also espouse what's known as the Great Replacement Theory, a white supremacist conspiracy that falsely alleges a deliberate, globalist plot to diminish the political power and cultural dominance of white populations through mass non-white immigration and falling birth rates. What used to be seen as a fringe crackpot theory is now being taken seriously by many shaping government policy. Everyone in the MAGA orbit subscribes to the idea that America is for white people, and the fact that it's not going to have a majority white population in the future is an existential threat, she says. They think that this not only has to be stopped in terms of new immigration, but they're denaturalizing people too, because they're looking at cold, hard data, which shows low fertility rates in countries in the West, and are on a revenge tour for white people. In 2024, I detailed for The Independent how the new Apostolic Reformation and its Seven Mountain Mandate had moved from the theological edges to the center of the MAGA establishment. Spearheaded by figures like Pastor Lance Wilnor, it has at its heart a dominionist theology that posits Christians are divinely chosen to reclaim the mountains of societal influence, including government, media, and the military, to transform America into a functional theocracy. The movement is partially bankrolled by Ziklag, a secretive, invitation-only network of donors, each with a minimum net worth of $25 million, who view their wealth as a weapon to be used to help realize Wilnor's apostolic visions. An investigation into the group by ProPublica revealed a multi-pronged strategy designed to deliver swing states to Republicans. Ziklag was founded by entrepreneur Ken Eldred, whose 2009 book, God is at Work, teaches how to convert people to Christianity around the world through business ventures. Operating as a tax-exempt charity, Ziklag brings together wealthy Christian donors to support initiatives aimed at shaping culture and society in line with their religious beliefs. Investigations by ProPublica and other outlets show that the organization has explored strategies to mobilize voters through church networks, issue advocacy, and outreach to conservative communities. Some of its backers include billionaire Christian families, with ties to companies such as Hobby Lobby and Ulene, while internal documents show the group considered leveraging technology and targeted messaging to influence voter engagement and conservative turnout. Claims that it directly funded AI systems to remove voters from rolls have never been confirmed. According to the Global Project Against Hate and Extremism, the connections between Ziklag and Project 2025, the transition plan authored by the Heritage Foundation to provide a conservative roadmap to centralize executive power under Donald Trump, run deep. It says the two have overlapping networks of supporters and allied organizations. The long-term, 250-year strategy being pushed by the Heritage Foundation today reads like a generational successor to Project 2025 and seems designed to ensure the Trumpian revolution becomes a permanent restructuring of American life. This involves establishing that marriage between a man and woman is the cornerstone of civilization, rebuilding the nuclear family, replacing the welfare and cultural legacy of the 1960s with a model of faith-based governance, and encouraging high birth rates as a vital defense against demographic decay and moral decline, citing the rise of births outside marriage in black communities as the original catalyst for this national social decline. The roadmap explicitly states, without families, a country lacks a storehouse of strong and brave men to protect itself from hostile aggressors at home and abroad. The requirement for a storehouse of men provides the human fuel for a foreign policy that views military intervention as a biblical necessity. Bitticofer says Pete Hegseth believes we have to have this war in the Middle East. Hegseth's predecessor's job title was Secretary of Defense, and she insists, changing it to Secretary of War was a big tell. It never felt performative. It's not a joke. It's a posture. An interventionist posture. We're living in a collapsing constitutional republic here in the US, as Jeff Charlotte noted when he was interviewed on the Interfaith Alliance Foundation podcast recently. Christian nationalism has been mainstreamed. They're guys in the White House. They're not the underground. You and I are. In state legislatures, too, the theological mandate to reclaim societal influence is being translated into a cold, legal reality that reaches into the most private corners of American life. In March 2026, at the Tennessee State House, a subcommittee considered a bill that would have classified abortion as homicide, opening women up to the death penalty. No lawmaker dared to motion for a hearing, but Tennessee is merely one front in a coordinated, multi-state offensive. Similar prenatal protection acts in South Carolina and personhood challenges in Georgia and Louisiana have brought the prospect of state-sanctioned execution as punishment for abortion into the mainstream. It is moves like this that are now increasingly alienating the women who once viewed the new right as a sanctuary from woke progressivism. A recent New York Magazine report captures a growing fracture in the movement, detailing how a wave of young conservative women, once drawn to the new right's anti-woke rebellion, are now defecting as they realize that sexism has become the movement's core identity, with some leading figures demanding absolute female subjection to leadership. It is a sobering conclusion for a movement that promised a return to freedom. Increasingly, the Heritage Foundation's 250-year plan, like Hegseth's God wills it that do, feels more like a roadmap for a country where the only way to lead is to prepare for the end of the world.